So can harmonization lead to dilution, and how can we prevent that? Actually, non-harmonization can also lead to dilution. Because when we say faithfulness to tradition, the tradition itself has flexibility as an integral part of it. So faithfulness to tradition also means faithfulness to the flexibility of the tradition. Bhaktisarana Thakur gives a classic example. Now, when he would do his theistic exhibitions in Kolkata, actually 50% of the theistic exhibition would be simply mundane. Now, it would be science and technology. The greatest science and technology at that time, which would be there, it would be displayed. More than 50% actually. They are hiring huge grounds, and in those grounds, half of it there would be the scientific developments, and scientists would come, eminent citizens would come, and they would come to see the scientific part. And then, as a part of that same big pandal, big same event, there would be the teachings of Lord Chaitanya also described, and all this was described. And people would come and see that also. So some conservative people, they criticize, this is all mundane. This is not spiritual. So Bhaktisarana Thakur said that throughout history, the Ganga, she keeps changing course. If you want to take bath in the Ganga, you have to go where the Ganga is right now. If you go to a place where the Ganga was flowing in the past, you may go there, but you will get no water, then you will not bathe. So similarly, he says, the flow of the mercy, the flow of the potency of the parampara, the path keeps changing. The flow of the Ganga is always towards the ocean. Similarly, the flow of the potency of the tradition's teachings is to take all people towards Krishna. Krishna is like the ocean. But the path it takes will keep varying. So, the principle that we have to... Now, when we say the Ganga's path keeps changing, why does it change? Sometimes there are seismic disturbances. So, sometimes what was a riverbed, that just dries up, or some landslide, or some earthquake happens, or whatever, then wherever the bed is right now, or wherever the path is for the water to flow, the water will flow from there and will move towards the ocean. So similarly, depending on the culture, depending on the ethos, depending on the intellectual conceptions of people, certain ways of the flow of Krishna's message work at certain times. And the same path by which Krishna's message flew earlier, it may not flow by the same path now. So we have to be intelligent to accommodate. To say, how is the water going to flow towards Krishna? So similarly, how are we going to attract people towards Krishna? So it is that Srila Prabhupada at one level, he said that, don't change anything. He said, I did not change anything. Then Prabhupada changed things right from the altar itself. Most of Gaudiya Math temples had Radha Krishna and Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Then Mahaprabhu had Radha Krishna, Prabhupada had Chaitanya, Radha Krishna separately and Gauranga separately. So right from the altar itself, Prabhupada changed things. So when Prabhupada said, I did not change anything, what it means is the essence he did not change. So the essential flow of mercy which Bhaktisarana Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave, that Srila Prabhupada continued. And when we say we should follow Srila Prabhupada faithfully also, well, which Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada himself did many different things at different times. Prabhupada's preaching strategy in America was very different from his preaching strategy in India. In America, he was primarily making people into devotees, becoming a devotee and moving into the temple. But in India, nobody was interested in moving in the temple at that time. So Prabhupada just became a life member. Prabhupada's main preaching in India was making life members. They would take books, they would give some donations, and Prabhupada built temples by that. Now if you consider life membership means there's not even a commitment to chant, there's not even a commitment to follow four regular principles. It's just a commitment to give some donation and to take some books. So now, but Prabhupada was ready to cast the net that far also, and that thin also. So Prabhupada himself was remarkably flexible. So if he had insisted in India, you have to move into the temple, well, nobody was interested. And if you see in the history of India also, I have been studying ISKCON history quite a bit. So our movement actually took took off in India in the late 80s. In the 70s, very few people actually became devotees. If you see amongst your Prabhupada's disciples, how many are Indians? And how many are Indians who were introduced in India? Very, very few. Usually Prabhupada sent many life members. Because what happens? You know, Prabhupada, this was Acharya, but most of his followers, initially at least, they adopted the same confrontational approach. You know, material life is all false, give it up, just join the temple. And nobody is interested in that. But then over the years, as Prabhupada's followers stayed in India, they learned how things work in India. Then the whole concept of congregation preaching started. Where sthane sita shuddhigata antanuvananobe. You be where you are, but you practice bhakti over there. In fact, Ravindra Swarupu writes an article about how congregation preaching started. In the West, something similar happened in India also. He said that in the past, whenever somebody would come for a Sunday program, our goal was to make him into a devotee, which means to get him to come to a temple. But he said people, the Indians, we saw that after talking with them, they had no intention of moving into the temple. We just kept neglecting them. So sometimes these Indians came for months and years, but we paid no attention to them. And he said, if on the street somebody had asked these people, these Indians who come into our temples, which religious group do you belong to? They would say Hare Krishna. But if we were to ask, are they Hare Krishna? No, they are not Hare Krishna. Because they are not moving into the temple. They are not following our standards. But eventually, and you saw year after year after year, we are coming. And especially in the 90s, see, when Prabhupada went at a particular time, Krishna reached. That is the time of the counterculture. Where people in the West were rejecting mainstream culture. So that rejection was what was the mood of people everywhere. Reject education, reject the normal way of family life, reject the government, reject the normal way of taking a job and everything. Just reject everything. That was the mood. And then Prabhupada, there he came and he gave them intellectual basis for their rejection. And a constructive alternative. Or you reject, what do you do after that? The hippies, it was said about them, they are rebels without a cause and rebels without a pause. Everything they are rebelling against. Rebel, 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 rebel. But you know, ultimately, you need to stand for something. So Prabhupada gave them something to stand for. But that counterculture started in the 1960s. By the late 1970s, it had petered out. And similarly, our movement, if you see the graph, it was just booming at a particular time. And once the counterculture went, it just crashed. Nobody was coming to our temples. And even people were not interested in taking our books. Because the hippies who became devotees, they often distributed books in very passionate ways, very aggressive ways. And that alienated people. So in the 1980s, it was early 1980s, more or less, it was the Indians who started supporting our temples. And what happened was in America that the devotees who had joined the temple, their primary service was book distribution. But when people were not taking books, then the temple couldn't maintain their devotees. And then the temple told the devotees, you can leave. They said, where will you go? We dropped our education, we came here, what will we do now? So it became a big mess at that time. And then for many of these devotees, who Western devotees, who thought these Indians are in Maya, because they're not serious like us. For them, when they decided to develop a grihastha ashram, for them, their parents were not a model because you know, their parents were already breaking up families. So they saw Indians. They have stable families. And in many ways, for the Western devotees, it is the Indian grihasthas they became models. This is how we should live. So of course, Indian grihasthas may just be pious and not serious about spirituality. But now, they're becoming serious also. So the point which I'm making is that the world has changed. And Prabhupada himself recognized that India and America were different. And Prabhupada's strategy in India and America was very different. So when we are to be faithful to Prabhupada, when that means we are faithful to the purpose of Srila Prabhupada. So the purpose of Srila Prabhupada was to attract people to come to Krishna. And however best that purpose can be served, we have to do that. So if we don't do that, we may say, I just follow in the same process. Okay, I did this. But well, nobody is coming. What do you do at that time? So, if nobody is coming, say, I was at a temple. I mean, at the temple, there's one very senior Prabhupada disciple. He's a sannyasi and a guru. he has been going to a, he's been doing college preaching for 15 years. I appreciate his dedication. Every single day, whenever he's in that city, which is almost for 7-8 months a year, or 6-7 months when the preaching seminar, the college is on, is every day he goes and 3 hours he does Harinam Kirtan in the college premises. He does Harinam and distributes books. In 15 years, not one person has become a devotee there. Now I appreciate his faithfulness, his, like, this is what, for 15 years to do that service. But then what is the result? So it is conduct some programs, cultivate some people. No, this is not what we did at the time of Prabhupada. We just did Kirtan, we distributed books and people became devotees. Well, he's been doing it 15 years. And nobody has become, not one person. So, well, dedication is fine, but what is the result? If there is no result, then Prabhupada will be pleased by the dedication, no doubt. But then Prabhupada is also pleased by whether the results come or not, isn't it? In principle, Bhaktisaranga Thakur said that if nobody comes for your program, preach to the walls. But in practice, now if Prabhupada had adopted that, in India nobody has become serious, Prabhupada kept preaching in India. And he would have satisfied, he would have lived up to the letter of Bhaktisaranga Thakur's instruction. Nobody comes, preach to the walls. But that doesn't mean preaching to the walls is what we do all our life. Isn't it? Prabhupada went to America because he saw Indians were not serious. So that means if we are doing a service, if the results don't come, we don't become disheartened in the service. But results not coming itself does not mean that is the way we should keep doing the service, irrespective of the results. Prabhupada wanted results and Prabhupada was flexible in doing what it took to get the results. So similarly, if you see the last 20-30 years, the world has changed more than what it has changed in the last 200-300 years. It's a rapid change. And I was at an interreligious conference in America, so there one Christian pastor was quoting that from 2005 to 2015, for them, among in the youth from the age of 15 to 35, more than 50% of young youths who have become Christians have come through online outreach. Through online, more than 50%, not just online means internet, but social media. So they have a whole network over there. IS, the Islamic State, which is a terrorist organization, they are very influential on social media. They attracted people from all over the world to become terrorists and join them in Syria through social media only. So the point is that we have to see what is the bed where Ganga can flow right now. You know, if the bed is here but we keep trying to get the water to flow from here, well, the water doesn't flow only. Water is flowing nicely over it, okay, go from here. So based on the culture, based on the mindset of people, we have to find out how we can get Krishna into their lives. So dilution would be if we never speak about Krishna. We just speak things which please them. But if we speak that which pleases them, so that they develop some faith in us, not pleases them in a pandering sense, but pleases them in a sense that doesn't agitate them proactively, agitate them unnecessarily. Then we avoid those agitating things, we present the message of Krishna Bhakti, and Krishna Bhakti is actually very attractive. It can attract thousands and thousands of people. And we just have to present it appropriately. Okay? Thank you. One more question? Yes, please.